B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
Most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate it.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I hate to burst your bubble. The Celtics are not a national draw. They're not.
Not yet.
Yeah, if Tatum develops into a top three guy in the league, and, you know, if, you know, the interest, you're right, is him versus LeBron.
Yeah.
LeBron versus maybe the next guy.
Right.
Like, that's what people sink their teeth into. Not Celtics-Lakers. Thing's old. It's for the olds.
See, the league was going to win coming out of the West no matter what. I mean,
Denver sneaks in there, that's not great.
Well, right, so I'm assuming an L.A. team is getting in, and I was going to say they'd rather have L.A. and L.A. in the conference final, no two ways about it, than you guaranteed of Kawhi Leonard or LeBron, not to mention Anthony Davis if the Lakers go. The East, once Giannis got eliminated, got a lot thinner from their point of view, right? They'd rather have, you know, someone other than Toronto, for sure, but they wanted Giannis. That's the one they wanted. He's one, you know, one of the most talked about players in the league, other than LeBron and Kawhi.
You know, the Celtics the last 2 years have maxed out on national TV games, so some executive thinks they're a national draw.
Okay, how many teams draw the max number of games?
I think it's them and the Lakers.
That's it?
But I don't know the other teams. I'm just assuming that the Lakers are included.
What I'm going to say is, if let's just pick a number. You can be on the national window 10 times. How many teams get those 10 slots? In other words, they put the Lakers in there 10 times. They put the Sixers in there 10 times. They put the Clippers in there 10 times. They put the Celtics in there 10 times. They put, you know, whatever.
Did you say Milwaukee already?
Milwaukee in there 10 times. They put whatever young hot. They put Dallas in there 10 times. And probably, maybe there's a ton of teams, Stu, that get the maximum number of national windows.
Maybe, but it's not all 30 teams. It's only a select few teams.
The good ones.
Yeah, and the Celtics are a good team. They're a national draw.
Because they're a good team, not because they're the Boston Celtics. That's my point. Because they're a good team. And they're a big market. We're the eighth market in the country or something. So, like that, yes, fine. You're a good team in a big market. Yes. You're not in there because you're the Celtics. I'm sorry. That thing's over. You all romanticize it, but it doesn't exist outside of here. It doesn't exist anywhere outside of your own head. That Celtic thing does not draw people to the TV. It just doesn't. I'm sorry. And I'd say the same thing if a Montreal Canadian fan was sitting in front of me. It's over. It's history. It's not what you think it is. Oh, the league would kill for Celtics Lakers. Nah, not really. They'll take Lakers Heat just as well. It'll be the same difference to them. But back to your phones. We can talk about that if you want. Here's Dan and Lowell. Go ahead, Dan.
How you doing, fellas? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I just wanted to make Jason Tatum, great player. You know, but I feel like they're relying on him too much right now. I don't know if he's ready for the moment. Like, in terms of, like, when we had a guy like Paul Pierce, who, you know.
Agreed.
You could always, you know, count on, hit a big shot in final moment. You know, fourth Agreed. Quarter was great.
So let me just stop you. Tatum's not there yet. He should get there, could get there.
He certainly acted like he was.
Well, he acts like he's the cat's ass, for sure. But he's not there yet.
No, he's not.
Who is on the team?
Nobody. Well, Smart, maybe.
Marcus Smart.
No one. Well, I don't know if Smart's, like, arrived. Like, I think he's the heart and soul of the team.
No, but I think Smart is pretty close to his peak right now. Pretty close.
So we clear out for him for the final
shot? No. That's a different question.
Well,
that's a different question.
No, this is sort of what I'm getting at.
Considering the upside, it should be Tatum.
But
it should be.
I'm talking about someone being able to handle the moment. Okay, the shot thing is a little different.
Well, no, but I'm tying it together because this is a Celtics problem, which is every other team you mentioned, you get to the end of the game, you need a shot, it's his team, it's his time, it's
that
his
guy
ball,
gets the
that
ball.
Guy. Is Tatum that guy yet?
Not quite.
So the Celtics don't have that guy?
Not quite yet. No. This is why they're sort of caught in between. You know, they're between the old Hickory thing and the Jason Tatum Celtics. They're stuck in that little place in between, and that is a little hard to navigate, clearly. So, because I think on some level, Stevens is being naive, too. And maybe this is where the coach is right, now that I think it out a little bit. He's saying, look, right now, this is how we have to play. We have to be old Hickory. We got to share the ball, and I'm using your role, Dick,
right.
Stealing
yes.
that.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so this is the way we have to do it now because we're not quite there yet. So this is how we have to do it now. Tatum thinks they are there now.
Because he thinks he's the guy.
He thinks he's there now.
Yes, but I think Brown thinks he's there now, and right.
See, and remember, Brown came into the league a year before Tatum. So he's looking at it going, dude, what are you talking about? I've been here longer than you. So, you know, hopefully someone there can get through to Tatum.
Well, and they quote-unquote talked about it.
Well, you know, and look, again, early in the playoffs, I thought Tatum was doing the right things. That game that Smart went off in Toronto when he made all those threes, Tatum kept giving him the ball. Good sign. They need to get back to that.
We've got Zach in Milford. Hi, Zach.
Yes, yes, I was making my point when I said, you know, move the ball and exploit the matchups. I was kind of making the point where if you're moving the ball like you have, you keep moving that ball till you get that matchup, until you have someone on Hero, and then you can put him in the position to shoot. The issue we're seeing, guys, is this isolation. I mean, the last 3 minutes of the game, Kemba and Tatum had the ball for the last 3 minutes, aside from a Jaylen Brown offensive rebound. Now,
but isolation ball,
that looked a lot of Kyrie Irving ball to me. And we don't want Kyrie Irving, right? We want Kemba Walker.
Yes?
I don't know what he's getting at. I'm just telling you that the GM of the team, Ainge, said that they don't want them hunting the matchups as much as they did. Ainge said that. So clearly they identified that what Tatum had was a favorable matchup. But they don't want him just pounding the ball on the floor and taking it all the time. That becomes selfish basketball, and you're not operating at peak efficiency, and you're not going to beat a good team doing it that way. So I just think he's contradicting himself, the caller is, because I think he's mixing it up. Tatum with the ball more often than not is a mismatch.
Nick and Canton. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, so just Felger, I just wanted to say I think your understanding of Celtics Lakers is a little dated, in that, using your own words, you were using Bob Cousy, and I don't know who you used from the Lakers, but I'm 25. I kind of understand it as Pierce, Kobe. I mean, they played against each other in two finals. And then also, I think maybe you should look at it through the lens of Celtics versus LeBron, because that's more relevant these days. I think more so that if you don't want to look at it as Celtics-Lakers.
100% right. 100% right about the LeBron factor.
Absolutely.
Celtics-LeBron. Now we're talking. Celtics-Lakers? I'm sorry, dude, you're 25? So you were 15? No, wait. How old was he in 08? You won in 08, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you were 13? You don't count. You're not a fully formed sports fan. You're a kid, 12.
You're an embryo.
It just doesn't, nope. You do not get to sit at the adult table of hot takery. Nope, you're not there yet.
So the other thing is
you've not had your hot take bar mitzvah.
He just says Pierce and Kobe Bryant, both out of the league. Gone, they're out of the league.
Well, no, but viewing it as the personal rivalries, yes.
Okay, LeBron against the Celtics is real.
That's what I think the league has become, though.
Yes.
It's, you know, it's Steph Curry versus LeBron.
Yes.
It's LeBron versus the Celtics thing. You know, the Celtics, LeBron versus Tatum. You know,
LeBron against the Heat.
The next guy. LeBron, right, against the Heat. That sort of thing. LeBron versus Riley, like that.
Yeah, it's about the star power. Because if it was strictly about the teams, then the Knicks would still be a big draw. Like, in terms of national audience, they're not. Knicks fans still think that team is relevant, and they're not.
I would say LeBron against the Heat's a bigger story than LeBron against the Celtics.
This is my point.
Because all those Celtics aren't here.
This is my point.
It was LeBron and Garnett and LeBron and Pierce. There was real, you know, there was real distaste there. Though they didn't like each other. LeBron and Riley's good stuff.
So you around here, though, even if you're young, you've been deluded. You've been brainwashed into thinking that the Celtics-Lakers thing matters because your dad knows what it means and your grandpa will talk your face off about the 60s. And it's like Celtics-Lakers, oh, I hate those guys. And, you know, that inbred hatred because you grew up with it. So, yes, that's where you're at. The rest of the country, Topeka could give two poops about Celtics-Lakers. They don't even know about it. They don't care. And anyone under 25, again, who isn't in Boston, who hasn't been force-fed the thing by grandpa, doesn't know what we're talking about and doesn't care. They hate LeBron and want to beat LeBron more than they want to beat the Lakers. Wouldn't you say that that's the case?
Absolutely, yes. Again, I go to the marquee name there. LeBron against the Heat, after that whole experience.
You hate LeBron. You don't hate the Lakers anymore. Get over it.
Oh, God. You know, LeBron with the whole thing with Bosch and Wade, and we're going to win all these rings, and then they go and fall on their faces, and he loses to Dallas. Then he wins his two rings. He skips out of town, and Riley's crapping on him as he walks out the door. That is great stuff.
But it's just the thing. Yeah, the league wants Celtics-Lakers. No, they don't. They don't. Get over yourself. They don't. They'll take it. Fine. It's a good matchup. Two big markets. They'll take it. But they don't like, they don't need it like you think they need it. They don't want it like you think they want it.
They wanted LeBron Giannis is what they wanted. That's the one they wanted.
We continue with your wonderful phone calls right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Complaining.
Oh, you had a mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
You cannot play that style against the Heat. They should have known this going in. They played the Heat. They got smacked around during the seeding games without Jimmy Butler. They came back and moved the ball against Toronto. I don't know why they would revert. In the first quarter, move the ball. Second quarter, not. If they're going to play that style, it's going to be a long, grueling series. And this Miami Heat team got a lot of confidence.
Again, more from Scal on the NBC Boston post-game. Ball movement, playing your offense. He's big on that. Will the Celts get back to it when it matters? I'm convinced they'll come out and play that way. Like, that's easy, right? Easy adjustment. They talked about it. Coach drilled it into them. First quarter, they're going to do it. What if it's tight late in the fourth quarter? What does it look like?
I don't know.
That's when it's going to matter. Here's Ian in New Bedford. Hi, Ian.
What's up, guys? Scary day in Boston, but I know we can all agree that the worst-case scenario would be Denver going to the finals. But to my point, I really think the Celtics need to contain Goran Dragic a lot in this next coming game. I feel like he's just kind of doing whatever he wants on the court and opening up the rest of the court. I mean, Tyler Herro was an assist away from a triple-double, and we really got to get in Duncan Robinson's face.
Okay, so two different things.
Duncan Robinson.
You think he sucks. There's going to be one game in this series where he goes for 20-something, and you're going to be like, that boy can shoot.
Oh, he can shoot. I know that. I just think he's a liability in just about everything else.
He's going to have one game, though, where he goes off. But back to Dragic. I said, you know, the other day we have to accept, you know, some defensive shortcomings from Kemba Walker because he's small and that's not his strength, and, you know, that I can accept that. But is that sort of ignoring that it was really bad in this last game?
Yeah, it's ignoring it a little bit. Yeah, but again, Dragic shouldn't beat you. You're going to give up points to somebody.
I mean, there was, again, the NBC Sports Boston, that piece that they ran on Walker. He has some atrocious defensive numbers.
He's small. I mean, this is, you know, he's going to get abused there. Kyrie would have gotten abused there too. I mean, you know, I'm just making it clear to you that I'm not telling you, but Kyrie's some sort of major asset on that end of the floor.
Yep.
Dragic is not the one that worries me. It's Adebayo. When you list their best five and your best five at the end of the game, and this is without Hayward now, Tice is on the floor. You have a hole. They don't. At least not, you know, again, you're looking at Butler, Dragic, Crowder, Adebayo, and Herro. It's pretty good. I mean, it's pretty good. There isn't a real hole there offensively.
Oh, I thought you were going to say defensively. So Jay Crowder is now not a hole. He's like a real piece. Like, I mean, you see Murray?
He's a
like
problem,
what he's doing
just, yeah.
Now Jay Crowder is like a offensive problem.
See, again, you take what I say and you manipulate it.
Well,
did
no,
I say he's a problem?
No, it's calling you out.
Because like, I know the real meaning behind it.
Jay Crowder is a bridgie. He's a tweener.
He had 22 points the other night.
He had a nice night. What is he, Maz?
What's
all of a sudden, now he's like a threat?
No, I'm not telling you he's a threat. But can you, if you leave
but
him
you're
open.
You're insinuating.
If you leave him open, will he make it?
So will Tice.
No, he won't.
Yes, he will.
No, he won't.
He gets open threes. Yes, he does. God.
How many? What percentage?
I don't know what
he shoots. 30% from three?
Yes, I bet he does.
But between him and
yeah,
Crowder.
That's not good.
Oh, it's Heat. They're one and the same.
No, they're not. No, they're not. Are you kidding me? Daniel Tice over.
Stand by.
So you'd
stand
rather
by.
Oh, God, you're delusional.
So you'd rather have Crowder than Tice is what you're saying.
On the floor at the end of the game? Yeah. Yeah, in this matchup? Yeah, I would.
All of a sudden, we have to fear Jay Crowder.
Yeah, well, that's a...
Look, I mean, not even I did that. He shot 33% this year.
Okay.
From three.
What's he shooting in the playoffs?
The year before, he shot 39%.
Yeah, what's he shooting in the playoffs?
I haven't scrolled down there yet. Stand by.
18.2. 18.2.
How many is he taking?
18.2.
How many is he taking?
Why hasn't he taken him?
Because Tatum's too busy chucking from 27.
No, because he can't make him consistently. That's why. because he can't make them consistently. Which Crowder shooting from three in the playoffs?
He's shooting well.
45% or something stupid like that. And he's not that good either, but he's making them.
Okay, so this is back to your statement. So there's no – so now Jay Crowder – fine. Okay.
41.7%.
Okay, so hold on. So
Mike, you're missing the point. Offensively, at the end of the game, they have more options than you do right now.
Oh, I disagree.
Right now, I said.
Disagree 1,000%.
Right now, they'll let any one of those five guys shoot.
Disagree 1,000%. They have better shooters, but they're not better players that I would rather have the ball. Like, I love the way Dragic shoots and plays and Hero shoots and plays and Robinson shoots and plays. I'd rather have Jaylen Brown have the ball than those guys.
Sure. Yeah, again, but with Tice on the floor, 5-on-5, their best is Tice is the weak link on the floor.
He is. I thought
offensively.
I thought you could say the Celtics have a hole defensively, which I was willing to agree with.
Well, they do with Walker.
I think Walker's defensive liabilities are greater than Dragic's. Maybe Hero's a wash, but Hero's not a starter. He comes off the bench, so I don't know. But offensively, no. The Celtics have more. I do not agree with that.
I'm just telling you, the Celtics don't want Tice shooting at the end of the game. I think Miami's okay with any of those five taking a shot.
Jay Crowder's the fifth guy if he's all alone because you've doubled off on someone else, and then Jay Crowder shoots.
Yeah, agreed.
Same, but Tice is the same guy.
You want Tice shooting a three with the game on the line?
If there's no within 10 feet of him.
Oh, God, you're delusional. You guys are delusional. If you think the Celtics...
You want Jay Crowder shooting that shot?
Before Daniel Tice, yeah.
No, you do this week. You know, any other time that we had asked you this in the last 3-4 years, we'd say, Jay Crowder taking your last shot. You'd go, bah! Just like that. Bah!
But again, see, now you're twisting it.
You would say, if Jay Crowder's taking your last shot, you suck.
Yeah, that's right. You do. Because at that time, if he was your best player, you're porked. So they have better options now. But if you go right down the line and the ball ends up at the fifth guy, Tice or Crowder, who are you picking?
Oh, it's a coin flip, either or.
Oh, my God, you guys are delusional. No. See, now you say, I need the crowbar. Okay.
Crowder's getting the nod there. He is.
It's not even close.
But that's mass. How often does he get down to the fifth guy?
I'm just telling you that.
Like, never point never.
Their best five.
Okay, but the fifth
against
guy.
Against your best five at the end of the game right now, Tice is a weak link, Mike.
But the fifth guy doesn't factor into that situation.
In this series right now, their best five against your best five, Tice is a weak link.
Mass.
Okay, not just the shot. Their center is better than your center in this series.
Okay, that'll give you.
So I just think they have more functional players on the floor at the end of the game than you do. I don't think Tice is functional at the end of these games now. In Toronto, he was because they had a favorable matchup. But Tice is really like what? He should be like an eighth guy.
Headline, Maz says last shot should go to Crowder.
I mean, all of a sudden, Jay Crowder, late game weapon.
No. See, again, you're twisting into something. There was a graphic up there earlier listing Miami's best five at the end of the game against the Celtics' best five.
Our graphic, or you got the ESPN thing?
No. I can't remember which one I saw it on. But either way, I looked at it and I said, well, wow, which one of those names doesn't belong at the end of the game? Tice, I look at the. I'm okay with all the other guys on the floor at the end of the game.
At least you can look at our monitors and see ESPN, NBC Sports, Boston, NFL Network. Yeah. We come in from the midday, and it's like, you know, Spanish soap opera, Dr. Oz, and Family Feud.
Seriously.
It's like those guys in the midday are like, real fart, watching freaking game shows.
Well, I think we know who's in charge of it then.
Want to say goodbye to NBC Sports Boston. Love you, mean it. Enjoy your pregame show. We got an hour to go. Felger Maz giving you an extra bonus half hour.
Okay? Mike?
What?
Their pregame starts at 6 because the game is at 7. So you're not saying goodbye to TV yet.
Oh, F you. You're not going anywhere. We'll see you right after Big Jim Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Okay, when you call and say two things, three things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm going to have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep two or three things in my head.
Felger and Mass.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What'd you just say to me, Mass?
I said the Heat are well constructed with those deadline pickups. The pieces fit. So I was just looking at Jay Crowder's numbers, because you're not wrong about Crowder. He's not this good a shooter, 42%. So why is he making them now?
He's probably being left open.
Bingo. Bingo. He's open. That's what it is. If you look at the ones he's making, he's wide open. He's not contested. Otherwise, typically he's a 34% free throw shooter or a three-point shooter or somewhere thereabouts.
Yeah, 34.7 in the playoffs.
So all of a sudden now the number's 42. Why?
Where did the 42% come from?
This year in the postseason.
He just said 31.
No, he
34.7 said... career.
Oh, career.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. 34 career. Got it.
Right, but again, that is with Boston. That's with Memphis. Now he's with Miami, and he's making him at 42. Why? Because the Heat have guys who go to the basket, and then they kick it out for the three, and they move the ball well, so they find the open man. So he takes him when he's open, and he can make him at a higher percentage. So it works. So, and they have a center who can play both ends of the floor. It's a well-constructed team. They play well together. I mean, you know, again, Butler's the star, not superstar.
I mean, Maz, you're right, but don't we mock those teams if they don't have the star?
Yes,
but
again,
what is that worth? You're Bridges then.
Well, but what are the Celtics right now? Again, we talk about them being in between.
But that's a separate topic. Like, Miami's not, they're well-constructed if we're like, I don't know, the fundamental well-constructed basketball. Are they a championship team?
No. I'm just talking about this series, though. I mean, you want to talk about championship team? Forget it. The Celtics aren't that either.
I mean, the Celtics have been a pretty well-constructed teams, well-coached and, you know, good systems and all that. We've mocked them because they haven't had, you know, one or two stars that you need to win. So now Miami does? I mean, Butler's a borderline guy. Like, he's not a number one.
Agreed.
And, like, he's by far their best player. So
we're talking about the Celtics and the Heat here.
So let's not act like the Heat are something they're not.
No, I'm just telling you that you're playing them. This is why I'm talking about the Heat.
I'm trying to be consistent for us. We've been saying for years, and it's right, that stars win in the NBA and the better talent wins out in that league. You have players that are closer to being stars with higher ceilings and better talent. You shouldn't be losing to a well-constructed team, quote-unquote.
Yeah, but the Celtics don't have the experience that some of the guys in Miami do.
And if they lose, that's why they're going to lose.
Absolutely. So,
I mean, I think, or maybe they don't get it, and they'll never get it, which is we'll have to find out over time. But right now I'll give them the age excuse, that Tatum's not ready and Brown, they're guys that are just not ready, and Jimmy Butler is.
I mean, I don't think either of the teams in this series is a championship team. Does that mean we shouldn't talk about it?
No. Obviously not. No, but they're going on about Miami. When they're not constructed how you want a team constructed.
No, I'm just telling you, I'm talking about the matchup with the Celtics. I'm not talking about winning the championship. They're playing a seven-game series, okay. So I thought we were talking about the team playing head-to-head.
And Maz, I think that any time you talk about head-to-head, you defer to the team with more talent. In this case, you're not. Why?
Because Miami's playing together and you're not.
Should have just said spite.
Yep. It's okay.
That's got nothing to do with
contrarianism,
spite.
Whatever.
No, it's not contrarianism.
Take committed to Kyrie Irving or something?
I'm not take committed to Kyrie Irving. I'm telling you that I think a lot of people have underestimated the Heat. Their roster got better. Adebayo's a good player.
Still no stars.
Butler might be the best player in the series.
Still no superstar.
No, there isn't. They're not a championship threat.
Which is what we've talked about. But you guys are closer to that level. You guys are closer to that level than Miami's is.
Tatum at his age has more talent than Butler did.
Does Miami have a second All-Star? Did Adebayo make the All-Star team?
He did.
So you have three, they have two.
Yeah, I think that's right.
You have more talent. You have more of those stars. You have more All-Stars. I mean, that's just sort of the way it works.
Yeah, it is. I'm telling you,
that team should win. If one team has three All-Stars and the other team has two, the team with three should win.
Yeah.
That's generally the way it works in that league.
Yeah, but Miami's playing better than the Celtics are right now, and there's a reason for it.
Okay, so whatever reason that that talent doesn't win out is not a go. I've been saying this for 2 weeks. You lack balls, heart, toughness.
Or you don't play together.
You don't play together. The other coach is better. Like, it's one of those other reasons other than talent, and that's a horrible reason to lose in that league.
Yeah, my only point when we began this segment is Miami's well-constructed. The pieces fit.
Yeah.
The pieces fit.
Yeah, I know, and we've never cared about that in the past. We've only cared about 1, 2, and 3. Who are your 1, 2, and 3?
Well, we can care about it today, can't we?
for that segment, I guess we care about it.
I mean, again, I thought we were talking about the series.
And I'm telling you about the series. One team has three All-Stars, the other team has two. In almost every other case, if you weren't trying to yank people's chain, you go with the team that had three All-Stars versus two. In probably every other case.
I'm not trying to yank anybody's chain.
Had an All-Star appearance in 2018, so they have three All-Stars.
Who did? Dragic?
Yeah.
But that doesn't count.
Thank you, Maz. A rare bit of fairness there from Maz.
But again, if all we're going to do is count the All-Stars, why even play the games?
This is the NBA. It's a very rudimentary conversation usually. This is why we usually don't get down to the fifth guy. never mind all the other stuff.
Well, I'm sorry I made it too complex for you.
The 90% of NBA talk radio is, I think Harden's better than Westbrook. I think LeBron's better than Kawhi. I think LeBron's better than Bird. Listen to most basketball, it's that, because it's all about that guy.
I know, but I think you have two teams that don't have that clear superstar yet now in this series, so the question is, what's going to decide it?
At least I have something approaching consistency on this. Paul in Maine. Go ahead, Paul. What do you got?
Hey, guys.
Mr. Consistency.
Maz, will you please remove the needles from your Kemba Walker voodoo doll so this poor friggin' guy can start to function like an actual NBA player?
I'll tell you what, after this conversation, I'm sticking nails in there. That's what I'm doing.
Seriously, I think Stewie's onto something, though. Kemba's either fatigued or not 100%. These jump shots that keep coming up short should tell you something's not right with a guy. Whether it's his legs or in his head is the question at this point.
And maybe it's both, Paul. It's probably both. But if he's got a knee now and he's damaged goods, that is bad news for you.
Big time.
Right, not just for this series,
right,
but long term.
Right.
You got 4 years with him, right?
Right. Yeah. Yes.
That
big concern.
An awful contract.
It's good. Maybe he and Julian Edelman can compare notes.
Josh in Worcester. Hi, Josh.
Hey, what's up, man? I don't understand why you think that one guy needs to take the shot, why it needs to be the superstar. When clearly, we've seen great examples of Miami. When LeBron missed the shot, LeBron was the first option. Dwayne Wade was option 1A, 1B, whatever you want to order him. Third option was Chris Bosh. Fourth option on that team was Mario Chalmers. Why did Ray Allen hit the game-winner shot and win LeBron his first championship?
Because a loose ball found him in the corner.
But they still went, instead of passing and looking for LeBron, they went right to...
It was an offensive rebound with a second left. You had to tie the game. Whoever was standing there in the corner was going to get the ball. But
there are other examples over... He's not totally wrong, though.
No.
Jordan kicked it out twice to win titles.
Right. If that were Horace Grant driving the lane, would Paxson have been as open as he was? And I'm just making those names up. I think that's... It lines up, but
No, it all spins off of Jordan.
So if the singular superstar draws so much attention that he can kick it to someone wide open, fine.
Which is what could have happened the other night.
Which is true. Yes.
I mean, to me, that was the mistake Tatum made. He settled just chucking it up way out there. He could have driven and drawn Butler and passed to someone or taken a 17-footer. That was a mistake. I have no problem with the ball being in Tatum's hands at that time. It's what happened with it that bugged me.
Long commercial-free segment is next, and we are going again till 6:30 bonus time with Felger and Maz tonight.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Maz.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment.
I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Maz.
We don't remember who we are or what we said last week.
Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
No, it wasn't drawn up that way. At the same time, I think that we are trying to exploit matchups, but I think that nobody wants to do it as much as we did it. I think that the game, it looked like we fatigued. It looked like we were trying to use clock. When we had the 14-point lead, we put it in slow-down motion. That's always just hard to change momentum. The team that's down 14 is trying to speed the game up, and the team that's up 14 is trying to slow the game down. And it's always a danger. I've seen it throughout this playoffs and playoffs of the past. It's a danger of when to slow the game down and knowing when to do it and when not to, when to keep the gas on the pedal and foot on the gas and just keep going to the hole and trying to get fouled. And Miami did a much better job. They got us into the penalty with 7.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and I knew we were in trouble at that point. And they were much more the aggressors. And it's dangerous when you have good offensive players like Kemba and Jason to just try to get a matchup and have them exploit that matchup. A lot of teams do that. And, you know, Miami did a better job of maintaining pace than we did.
coach on TNR the other morning. I just think he encapsulates that perfectly, which is we want to hunt matchups, just not as much as we did the other night. So that balance. Let's see if the Celtics can find it tonight. So that's on the table again. Felger and Maz going to 6:30 tonight here on 98.5 The Sports. Of the radio side, the simulcast will bug off at 6 o'clock. Back to your phones here on everything. We've got Eric in Needham on something we haven't hit on in a little bit. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
So my question is, if Gordon Hayward wakes up tomorrow and his ankle is as fine as the day it was before he hurt it, when it comes to game three, do you start Marcus Smart and do you keep Marcus Smart in late games?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. I think Hayward, if he can come back, bring him back.
Off the bench minutes restriction.
Well, and, I mean, I'll just see how he looks. You know, I throw him in with bench minutes, and if he's useless, don't play him. If he's useful, play him and just see. My prediction is he's going to be useless. He's going to be a non-factor.
I mean, he might be.
If he, you know, even if he comes back, he's going to be a non-factor. Just based on his history of the his comfort level when he comes back from injury and how long it takes him to find his rhythm, and he's, you know, it's been 2 years of him not being right and taking forever to get right. So what, he's going to come back and, like, day one be ready to roll at that? You know, these guys have been going balls to the wall for 2 weeks.
I'd imagine to be at the defensive liability. But if he can get some ball movement going, hide him in the corner, and he can chuck up a three, like, you know, he might be able to use him that way.
Yeah, the odds are against him being a factor in the series. But no, my guess is they'd like to get him back for game three.
Okay, but if by some miracle he's balls to the wall, ready to go, he's out there all the time. In fact, he's on the floor to end the game, and Kemba Walker might be off. You know, I might keep Hayward on the floor, and I'm not taking off Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart's on the floor at the end of the game, but I might take out Kemba Walker for Gordon Hayward if he's right.
Yeah, maybe you do a, you know, offense-defense kind of thing, or maybe you take Tice off at the offensive end and Hayward off at the defensive end.
But that's getting ahead of I think he's going to come back and be useless. It's just a prediction. Cody and Nashua on Celtics-Lakers. Go ahead, Cody.
Well, the Celtics and Lakers, I feel, are fairly comparable to the Red Sox and the Yankees, because a lot of the times the Red Sox or the Yankees suck and we are forced to watch them on ESPN, ABC, or any of that crap. And I'm pretty sure when it's Lakers-Celtics, that's going to be forced on our face. It's every Christmas, every Easter.
And it's over. And it's, see, the thing with the Red Sox-Yankees, you can also throw in, like, Packers, Bears, Bruins, Canadians, Dodgers, San Francisco Giants, they're in the same division and they're going for the same thing every year. And I think that holds up better. You know, people want to go back to Bucky Dent and whatnot. Like, again, I just don't think the rest of the country gives two poops about that. But the competitiveness of the division, that's real.
Sure.
And so, like, that's a little different than Celtics-Lakers, which I think is just it only matters to the olds. Or if you're young, you're in Boston, and your grandfather has been, you know, yammering at you all for years about Celtics-Lakers. Otherwise, I don't think anyone cares.
I mean, was that really about Celtics-Lakers in the 80s, or was it about Bird and Magic?
So it was really more about Bird and Magic, but at least it was closer to the 60s thing, and I don't know. I feel like, so that was 20 years removed from the rivalry in the 60s. We're now going on 40 years,
you know, right?
35, it's just over. And I'm sorry, that little thing, the 2 years with Garnett and Kobe were nice, but not enough to have that true sort of Celtics-Lakers thing. I mean, the 80s thing got real. I mean, 80, it was what, 84, 85, 87?
Yep, Lakers won two of them.
So, you know, three finals in 4 years, like, that got real.
Yeah, it did. It's like Cleveland and Golden State there.
Yes, and that did too. But I think it's more about the individual players versus the brands or the uniforms or anything like that. Matt in Rutland. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys. Just two quick points. That last call was a great segue, actually, into my point. I think a lot of these rivalries you see crammed on our throats, they all really stem from, like, the superstars being in certain places, and they go against each other, and then there's a rivalry, and then it becomes Lakers-Celtics instead.
Matt, you watch it. If Durant's healthy and Kyrie Irving isn't a flaming a-hole,
good luck.
That's a good point. Lakers-Nets is going to be a rivalry. But you think that everyone gives two? It's about Kyrie, LeBron, Durant, LeBron. Like, that's a thing. That's going to draw eyeballs. It's not about the teams anymore. It used to be. It's not anymore.
I mean, I would even say if they end up playing Golden State, Durant plays Golden State, that's good stuff.
Huge.
This is the same reason LeBron in Miami, even if Bosh and Wade aren't there. Riley is.
Those are rivalries.
Yes, it's like there's a you know, a timely grudge. Like they were just together. Like that's the good stuff.
Peter in New Hampshire.
It's like Belichick and Brady if they played right now.
Hey, yeah, so, yes, I'm another indoctrinated embryo at 24 years old, but I still do, like, enjoy the Celtics-Lakers rivalry, and I buy into it. So my first championship was in 2010, and I still remember the loss of Kendrick Perkins, and, like, I still have an awful taste in my mouth after that. And, yes, you guys are right that, like, all matchups do require players, but this is kind of like the next chapter of the Celtics-Lakers because you have Tatum and you have Anthony Davis and LeBron on the other side, one coming in and one going out. And then the last thing that nobody's brought up yet is that the Celtics and Lakers, we have that kind of like the Yankees thing, the most titles. The Celtics still have the most titles, but the Lakers are right there on the heels. So if you get that matchup head-to-head, the Lakers can tie you guys, or the Celtics can kind of go ahead and take another step further.
Let me tell you something, Peter. If I were a Celtics fan, that would matter to me. That would matter to me. It would. Even though half of your banners are Fugazi. I'm sorry. They are Fugazi. Eight-team league, the Syracuse Nationals, please. Give me a break. But fine, they're up there. We'll count them. That would matter to me. I've got 17, you've got 16. Or is it 16 and 15? Whatever. You know, you've got one more than them. That I would care. And if I'm a Patriots fan, I'm also counting those rings. You got six. Pittsburgh's got six. I would want the next one. I would not want to claim. Now, if we're really being fair, we would go back into the 60s and count the Packers five or six championships or whatever. But I guess I'm not allowed to do that.
Nope.
But like that thing, the big historical scoreboard, that does matter to me. But that team with one less banner than you could have been the freaking Kansas City Kings for all it matters.
Like right. So how far back? Like, I don't know. I prefer to think of rivalries in real time. Like, and I'm not telling you it doesn't exist over a century.
You don't want to have the most NBA championships in history?
Sure.
Yeah, so to me that would matter if I were a Celtic fan.
Sure, but again, it's not the reason I'd watch the finals.
Which is why don't lose. Don't lose and let, the Lakers catch you with LeBron being the one to catch you. Ooh, don't let that happen.
Oh, they might if LeBron gets to the finals, Celtics fans might have to root for the well-constructed Miami Heat.
Oh, suck on that for a minute. You'd have to root for Riley.
So that's Jay Crowder.
The well-constructed Miami.
The weapon. We're now going to call him the weapon, Murray.
The Clinic Olenek.
Half hour to go. Felger Mass bonus time coming your way right after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials. Bye to NBC Sports Boston. Get ready for their pregame. Our pregame starts here at 6:30. But again, no spots here. Just an update. Then we're back with you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mass.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boom. Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mass.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Butler downhill on Tatum. Into traffic. Got it! And one! Clutch time, Dane County. Jimmy Butler delivering.
Yet again, the Miami Heat in the paint. And Jimmy Butler again has taken 68% of his shots from right in that area. He is relentless, gets the angle and the step on Tatum, takes the contact and scores it. 48-26, the advantage in the paint, and the Heat bench is like, yes, sir, that's our closer.
Now Tatum trying to get space. Tatum all the way in. Tatum blocked at the rim by Bam! What a block by Bam Adebayo as Tate went in to slam it down, and Bam said, not a chance here in Orlando.
That's how game one ended. Game two tonight here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. They tip it shortly after 7. Pregame, the fastest 30 minutes in the NBA with Brandy and Max, comes away at 6:30. Felger Mass, bonus time here until 6:30. That's the deal on that. One thing I am grateful for game two is that I can stop watching the highlight of the Bam Adebayo block. Like, I got it already. Okay, got it. Saw it. Got it. Mm-hmm. All of it. Saw it all.
Like that Torrey Krug hit in game one against the Blues last year. Like, all right, okay.
Got it. Mm-hmm. We've point made. Got it. It was great. It's like, because we have sports shows on, we have the highlights on. And so it's like, you know, Bam Adebayo in black and white. Bam Adebayo sped up. Bam Adebayo with a fuzzy background. Bam Adebayo with a floor angle. Bam Adebayo from the ceiling angle. Bam Adebayo from the regular angle. Bam Adebayo with the local radio calls. It's like, okay, I understand. You know what I mean? It's like over and over. Something else has to happen so they can give me a different highlight. Like, I'm just looking for something to happen in game two that can replace the Bam Adebayo highlight. As great as it was, I'm just sick of seeing it.
Bam Adebayo from the baseline. Bam Adebayo from midcourt. Bam Adebayo from three-point line. Bam Adebayo from the free throw line.
No, it's not that. No, but that would be better because that'd be a series of plays. This is one effing play.
No, I meant the angle. I meant the angle, the same play, but from those different spots on the floor.
It's what it is.
Oh, God.
It's like, enough. Okay. Show me something else. Anyway, this is going to lead to the Mimecast email of the day. I haven't done this yet.
Let's do it good.
Right now. Let's do it.
It's the Mimecast email of the day.
Dear Felga, I really hate you. And I think Mez is a boo.
Email of the Day is protected by Mimecast. Phishing, ransomware, and employees who click on bad links can put you out of business. Get protected by Mimecast, the number one email security and resilience companion for Microsoft 365. Learn more at Mimecast.com. That's Mime, M-I-M-E, Mimecast.com. Lewis writes in and says, Felger, do you think that maybe Stevens had a play called at the end of regulation when the Seas were down one, but when Smart dove and they called the foul and Tatum hit the free throw? Tatum shot the free throw? Or was it Smart?
No, Tatum did, yeah.
He did, okay. And Tatum hit the free throw and tied the game. They scrapped the play and just let him do whatever he wanted, but just make sure there was no time left. Yes, something like that. I do. I think being down one changed the dynamic versus being... I talked about this yesterday. It's like when you're tied and there's nothing to lose, I feel like every NBA team just takes the clock down to zero and shoots it wherever they are.
Bombs away.
Right? And half the time now, it's the superstar player. He's outside the three-point line, and he doesn't even bother to penetrate. Sometimes they do, but for the most part, I see it time and again, right? You just settle on whatever it is wherever you're at the buzzer with a step back. It's what everyone does. Where if you're down one, it's a little more apt to try and get to the line or get a real shot. I don't know. There's just something about it. So I think totally that in some strange way worked against you a little bit when you tied that game on the Smart flop.
Oh, I think so too. Yeah. I mean, and maybe the play was, look, we'll get the ball to Tatum, and then you got to make a decision and make the best play. And then he didn't make the best play. I mean, you know, it could have been that they wanted to start with Tatum.
I don't think there was much of a decision. I think as soon as he had the ball in his hands, this is mine. I'm taking that shot. I don't think he was looking for anybody else.
No, he should have been, though.
Absolutely.
Right? He should have been. So what I'm saying is maybe Stevens wanted it to start that way, and Tatum just held on to the ball.
Okay, back to your thoughts. We'll take your calls until 6:30. Couple open lines if you want to grab them at 617-779-0985. Todd in Plymouth on the All-Star conversation. Go ahead, Todd.
Yeah, hey, fellas. So, Felger, philosophy is Celtics should beat the Heat. We got three All-Stars. They have two. My question to you is, last time I checked, the Lakers only have two All-Stars. So you saying the Celtics going to win the championship and beat the Lakers?
Ah! I'd say their all-stars are better than yours. If I'm drafting that series, they have the first two picks off the board, so that would even that out. But it's a fair point. I think you give the Lakers a good series, by the way, Todd, or you should.
I think so, too. And that's where two all-stars are better than three with the caliber of the players. But I just wanted to bring that up because you're saying, well, we should just beat the Heat because it's three against two.
I give you a shot against the Lakers. I think the door is wide open. I mean, I thought the Clippers were the class of the league and we're going to win it. So I'm stunned they folded the way that they did. And because I think the Lakers are a more beatable opponent for you. But it's true. This is why the Celtics should be a true contender. There's not many teams that have three All-Stars, and if Gordon Hayward's back and healthy, that's a fourth potential. I mean, if Jimmy's going to go back a couple of years to get Dragic an All-Star game, I'll go back a couple more to get Hayward the All-Star game. They got four guys. They have four guys who can be All-Stars. There's not many teams who can say that.
Lakers definitely more beatable than the Clippers are.
I thought so.
Definitely. Now, again, I still make the Celtics, you know, to me, the Celtics probably don't win that series. Not if LeBron and Davis play at their peak. But who the hell knows? I mean, they got to beat Miami first. The well-constructed Miami Heat.
Johnny and Southie, Celtics-Lakers still mean something to you? Johnny.
Hey, I'm in a car.
Okay,
Southie works too.
Listen, you're wrong.
The Celtics-Lakers is a rivalry. You can't compare it to the 80s. That was the height of the NBA, David Stern, Magic, Larry. That's fine. You got to remember, you just said yourself, right now it's all about star power. We have more star power than the Heat. Jaylen Brown, the number of times you're going to see Jason Tatum dunk on LeBron from the Eastern Conference Finals, if it's Lakers-Celtics, oh, you're going to be seeing that. It's just a new generation of Lakers-Celtics, hate.
But it's not the Lakers that they hate. It's LeBron. It's not the Lakers.
But LeBron just makes it that much sweeter.
For you, I mean, for an old person, yeah. So you get to hate two things. Us olds, yes. We hang on to that. That means something to us. But the younger demos, I don't think give two poops about the Lakers. They hate LeBron, so that's what that is. But even if, again, if you're a young kid in Boston and Gramps has been telling you about, you know, Celtics Lakers and your dad's been telling you about Magic and Bird, and so you've been raised to hate the Lakers, you do. I'm telling you, across the country, it doesn't mean much. It just doesn't. Rivalry. Sure, it's still a rivalry. Like, whenever we talk to Wick Grosbeck, it's clear. He despises the Lakers.
Right.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that...
But he's our age.
And he's our age, and he's a Boston guy, and he owns the Celtics. Like, of course. I'm talking about the guy in Minnesota. Doesn't care. So, like, but it's born out of that whole thing that fans here think the league wants Celtics-Lakers, that it's going to help the league. And I'm here to tell you, it really doesn't. I think whether it's Heat Lakers or Celtics Lakers, that's pretty much a wash for the league. It really is.
Yeah, it's more important to get the stars in there. Again, I think in a lot of ways, LeBron against Miami is a better storyline than LeBron against Boston.
Now, I think that if it is Celtics Lakers, the networks will have more fun with it. They get to run more old footage. So there's more to produce and more of a storyline for them. But that doesn't mean the average fan across the country cares about it. I don't think that he does. But rivalries still exist, but just to the rivals, not to anyone else. Bruins-Montreal, I mean, I hate Montreal, but it's the last team that I really hate. Like, I'm a 12-year-old boy, and I hate them. Hate them, hate them, hate them, hate them. But the rest of the country, the NHL world, doesn't care about Bruins-Montreal. Just like I think the rest of the basketball country doesn't care about Celtics-Lakers. John in South Boston. Go, John. I'm sorry, South
Hi,
Carolina.
How are you?
South Carolina. Go ahead, John.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I feel like I've been listening, and this series is not over. And the way one of y'all have been talking has been like, it's one game. Yeah, like you want to win game one, but it's like one game. What I've noticed the whole season.
We don't think it's over. Like, what if the Celtics lose tonight? Is it over, John?
I don't think so, because I've noticed this year has handled bouncing back way better than last year's year did. Because you know why? We have a better leader at the point guard position than we did last year. Because we all know last year, for our organization, it was a nightmare.
So you think Kemba Walker's the leader?
Yeah, along with Marcus.
Okay, I think Marcus.
I hope you met Marcus Smart.
Smart is. I think they're better equipped to come back from adversity than they did last year, for sure.
Oh, how could they be any worse?
But I don't think they're totally out of the woods there. And I think there is a little brush fire there after this last game. And we'll see how they respond to it. And we'll know just how healthy they are going forward. I'm going to jump this caller in line because it's a topic near and dear to your heart. Rich says Tatum's dunk attempt should have been goaltending.
Oh, my God.
Why? Why, Rich? Why should that have been goaltending?
Why? Okay. So you guys were just bitching about all of the different angles you saw with Adebayo just blocking that shot. Okay. And there was one angle, which was clear as day, where his hand was bent back over the cylinder, and as Tatum went to jam it down the cylinder, the ball was above the cylinder. Okay? Rule definition is when the ball's above the cylinder, you can't touch it. It's goaltending.
Hey,
that's
Rich,
the definition of the rule.
Can Tatum touch it?
Rich, hold on. Give me the rule, please. The page and Rule 5, Subset A, Paragraph B.
I'll break it out. I'll break it out.
Break it out to me.
I've roughed over 1,500 games.
Okay, yeah, text it. Hold on. Hey, stop. Stop yammering.
Yeah, here we go.
Listen to me.
Yeah, it's a ref.
Stu, what's our handle? What's our Twitter handle?
Oh, just email at Felger at 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Somehow, are you on Twitter? Email, whatever. Rich, email it to me. Felger at 98.5 The Sports Hub.com. Are you near a computer?
Yeah, I'm just pulling into my house right now. I'll email it to you.
I want to ask him a question.
No, hold on. Run in. Tell your wife and kids just to pipe down for a second. You need to do. Daddy needs to take care of some business. Go in there and email me the actual rule that tells
I will.
Me.
There's nobody home but me, man. I'm going in and taking care of that.
Hey, Rich, when the ball's in the cylinder, can an offensive player touch it?
No, that's offensive goaltending.
So then why is a dunk not offensive goaltending?
Because he's going for the shot. He's shooting the ball.
Oh, but the other guy's not allowed to block it.
if the ball has been released and it is above the cylinder.
What if it hasn't been released?
What if it hasn't been released?
Offensively or defensively.
What if it hasn't been released?
Ball has to be released.
Okay, so it wasn't released. It was in his hand.
It was in his hand, and he's going for the shot. That's a different scenario.
No, it isn't.
If it bounces off the rim, and then is above the rim, he can't touch it.
No, it isn't. It's not a different scenario. You said you ref 1,500 games?
Yeah.
Yeah, you must have sucked as a ref.
Oh, stop that. Don't listen to him, Rich. You're all right. Send me the rule, okay? Send me the rule.
It's actually easy to find. It's rule number 11. If you go to NBA.com, it is rule number 11, basket interference, goaltending. And there's all it goes A through.
Well, go ahead. Give me the paragraph.
Section one. A player.
No, I don't need the whole thing.
It wasn't
the one that
basket
applies.
Interference. But anyway, go ahead.
Fine.
Go.
I don't know which one. I don't want it called. You look at it yourself.
Dugger has sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.